Hello to all my friends at Zed Game Fix. It's me, Mario.
Hey, it's Frank Grillo.
This is Roger Clark.
This is Master Daniel Pacina.
This is Lucy Pohl.
This is John St. John.
And you're listening to my favorite,
the Game Fix Podcast.
Game Fix Show.
The Game Fix Show. Yeah, them boys, they're pretty funny.
If I have a sword and I'm just like, eh, like that, I'm not going to do anything. I will probably, it's just not going to work.
I mean, the one in Hollywood, it's only going to have the Bowser Mario Kart ride. They don't even have the Yoshi ride. So
I think it's absolute stupid. I think you're cutting your nose off to spite your face. I think you're shooting yourself in the foot. I don't know how many cliches I can come up with, but it's just not good for the industry.
All right, partner. You know what time it is.
Let's go crazy! Go crazy!
Hello, welcome to another edition of the Game Fix Podcast. I'm Spanish.
Mike is Mike.
And Verlaine be my name. Make right. Sure to check out our website, gamefixshow.com, and our weekly stream of our weekly recorded podcast. If you are not here, then maybe you should be facebook.com/gamefixshow or twitch.tv/gamefix.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, gamefixshow.com, that's the website. A couple other things you could do on our website. You can, you can just go to it, for starters. And then you can actually follow us, our social medias there. You can actually listen to our latest podcast right there on our homepage. That would be cool, you know. You can also become a Patreon. And Verlaine, tell them what they could get if they support the show monetarily.
So when you start dishing out the funds, you actually get control of the show. Ask people like Bocephus, and even Jack is one of our high tiers. You kind of become a producer. You can challenge us to things and watch us fail or be miserable or even enjoy ourselves. Yeah. You can bring up topics that you want us to talk about or research. Guests, shit. Bocephus has gotten us guests before. So you pretty much become a member of the show. Just head on over to patreon.com/gamefix. And everything that you see here and when you see us live or do whatever, that's always going to be free. This is just a way for you to get a little closer to my britches.
Oh, and who doesn't want to get close to those? Right? Anyway, all right. Anyway. All right, so there's a lot that we need to get to today. Just a couple of things here and there, whatnot. Verlaine is excited about Stray, the future of Stray.
Wow.
Yes, I'm sure he is. And Phil Spencer has, he spoke to PlayStation, Sony players, gamers out there, trying to calm them down a little bit. Is he allowed to speak to Sony? Never mind. All right. Anyway.
Do whatever he wants.
I know.
It was a joke.
Anyway. And then there is there's a couple of games that might become one. You are one. We are many. No, it's not Mortal Kombat.
The few crowds, the Marines.
No, that's something else. Anyway, I was doing Ermac, but who cares? Anyway, so there is. We got to talk about what we've been gaming, and I really, this time I'm going to start with Verlaine. He generally doesn't start us off, but there's a reason I want him to start us off because, he's been playing. He's been playing hard, as far as I hear. like you've been playing a little too hard, if one would say.
I get
explain yourself to the folks out there.
All right, I get involved. So what Dave's referring to is this game that I started playing with Jack called Dungeons of Eternity. It's fucking awesome. Like,
which, by the way, I downloaded and have played. So
yes, yeah. That's so awesome because the game, it's cool and it's almost. I relate it kind of like what I would want Blade and Sorcery to be if it was multiplayer.
Yeah, yeah.
Not as much interaction, but like it's cool, it's fun, and well, in the middle of our heated battles. Because by the way, I've said this plenty of times. The there's a lot of life-saving moments in this game. Like, it's literally, you're fighting, and then it's like, Jack's like, behind you, and throw something. I turn, the skeleton's crumbling because he saved my life.
Yeah.
And that happens all the time in this game because dudes just spawn from behind you. Anyways, I was playing, and man, I swung hard, and I hit my finger, like, on the corner of my wall. Yeah, I don't know if you could see that. I don't know. Maybe you can. But, dude, it's not broken, but wow, dude, like, whatever happened to it, immediately, like, you know, I had to stop playing. And, you know, I got, like, hot flashes, and I had to go, like, lay down and literally pull off all my clothes. Like, it was real weird. This is the second time. The first time, I almost broke my arm. If I was an inch closer, my arm would have been broken. And that's the only problem with VR right now. It's you can put your boundaries, but you know, like, I'm still like pushing the limit, I guess, you know. Sure. So either way, the game is fucking awesome, and it's done the strangest thing. When we play any game that's multiplayer, usually I'm some sort of support character. It's what I like to do. I like to be a puppet master, help everybody, you know, be a healer. In this game, you don't choose a class. You just are. You just make a generic you, and you go in there and you start. Everybody starts with the same things: a bow and arrow, an axe, and a knife. And I don't know how it decided. I think I may, but while we're playing this game, that is when you are kind of growing into what class you're going to be, because you start beating dungeons and stuff, and you start getting items from chests. And it turned out, like, you know, at first I got this like cool, like, fire staff, and Jack got like an ice staff, and it's like, oh, sweet, blah, blah, blah. So we're playing and playing. And then he's getting other staffs, gravity staff, force staff, all these staffs. And I'm getting all these like blunt weapons. I'm getting melee weapons and shields. So because of the way we play, because we started playing, he'd be in the back with a bow and arrow or with his ice staff. He would freeze the enemies, and I would just run up and break them. And I would just be so, like, in battle more than I am usually in a game, that it has made me the warrior type and has made him the sorcerer type.
No.
Just based on – it's fucking amazing, dude, because, like, I know that I don't really play like that. And now I'm becoming a class – at first I'm like, God damn it, I wanted all the magic and shit. But nah, dude, some of the weapons in this have, like, ice imbued with
they're kind of like alchemy, like, weapons. And by the way, I have a better picture of the finger if y'all want to see it. Here you go. There's
woo! But it works, it's not broken. And I'll still play, but
that's good.
Yeah, outside of that, I played I was playing some more Mortal Kombat 1, getting ready for the combat pack, which is still like a month away. But my friend Sean, I don't know if you remember Sean from the UK.
Yeah,
we used to play with him. Mm-hmm. He's been playing Mortal Kombat.
What is it?
Yes, Hargreaves.
I know. Yeah, okay.
Good dude. And he actually, it's cool. So he is playing Mortal Kombat kind of like the way that I complain about the other Mortal Kombats, where like. I'm going to explain. He plays a lot of practice, and he figures out like those long string combos.
Sure.
That literally half the bar's gone. And that's fine, because we're playing, and I'm like, I've watched the videos. He'll post stuff on Facebook, like all these cool combos that he's figured out with characters. I only know like one with Shang Tsung, and while we were playing, I forgot it. But what I realized was, even though he was pulling off all these combos, I never once really felt like I didn't have a chance to win. Because he would play, you know, he knew combos for almost every single character he played. And I'm playing characters I've never played with and still doing pretty good by just doing 3-hit combos and actual special moves. So it's almost a trade-off. So I don't know. It might just be coincidence that this is how it's been going on. But it's like, I don't feel like I have to master those combos to compete. Kind of like Street Fighter. Street Fighter, you can win with special moves nowadays. Like for a moment, fighting games, it seemed to like, it was like, why even put special moves in if all they're going to do is fucking combos?
Yeah, I agree.
But it's cool, and I actually like it a lot more because outside of Jack, I never really played with anybody, and Sean's like super good. So it was really cool, like playing with somebody and like getting my ass fucking handed to me. But yeah, even now, the game's still fucking good.
That's why
good.
We don't play anymore, because you never beat me.
I know, you're too good. and to wrap it up, I took a little dip into more Overwatch. Because they gave me the newest character for free. Maybe they knew. Yep. I haven't been on. Boy, is it still Overwatch. The yep. New game mode, it's almost like too little too late. And then, it's still Overwatch. I mean, the new Sombra is kind of stupid, by the way.
What do you mean?
They reworked her, which, dude... I was playing, and all I kept doing was complaining. Like, we're playing this fucking game that just sucks all over the place.
You're playing video games and complaining? No.
Well, I'm playing Overwatch and complaining.
That's not new either.
And the fact that they, of everything in Overwatch, are still fucking trying to rework Sombra, which they just reworked. So they are spending all this time on reworking Sombra, who they just reworked, instead of everybody else in the fucking game. Sure. Or making better anything. They fucking rework Sombra, and all it's doing is she's a fucking troll now, worse than ever, because you have to be. Now you have to pretty much stick and move. Stick and move. Like, it's... Oh my god, dude, it's like fucking... It's Overwatch. But they are doing the Diablo crossover, so Moira, you can get like a skin or something from Diablo.
Good call, Carrie. She suckered. Yeah. I suckered into buying Aladdin and Lion King. Just let me know when you beat Lion King. Just let me know.
Yeah. So that's it. That's it for me.
Anyway, sorry.
Oh, and we played Demio. So good.
And
job.
We played. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, I'll go. I'll go now. So, So we actually got into some Demio. So if you play Meta Quest, you may have tried the game. It's a VR tabletop like Dungeons and Dragons type game, right? I'll tell you, it's pretty cool. There's a lot of strategy involved, and this is like the first time we got to the end and actually won. We actually won the match. I wouldn't say the game, it's not really, whatever, but yeah. Like there's three different levels you have to get through, and we ended up getting through it, and which, by the way, we almost didn't. I mean, yeah. It was close. They were about to kill us, and I think it was you that you were like no, I can't, I'm not gonna
I
kill
thought
him.
It was said not. Seven hits, yeah, so like, no, I almost didn't one. Even attack him.
I was like, attack it as one, and you're like, oh, it does, and then, oh yeah, and then we won. I was like, sweet. So yeah. So it was good. It was good. So if you ever played Demo, if you ever tried, it's free, right? I think Demo.
No, it's not.
No, it's
free.
Not?
Okay. There might be a demo out of it, but
yeah,
the game, like me and Jack play it all the time. When we play two player, we can be two characters. We just have two, and even with that, we never beat the end guy. We can get there, and it takes so long. Like that's why I was like, just get to the end, because it's like hours. It like 4 hour game sessions. But yeah, it was weird. Less people. We beat the game. That was cool. MetaQuest 3 is coming out. Demio on MetaQuest 3. Were you playing the game in AR?
No.
I play in AR. Dude, MetaQuest, yeah, it's going to be crazy. Because while we're playing, like I'll move the board and then I'll drink, hit my vape and then move the board back over. But MetaQuest 3, dude, the game is, like, right now it has hand tracking. You could pick the characters up and stuff.
Right.
And
I know. Yeah, Jack does it, and it's terrible.
In MetaQuest 3, it's way smoother. Like, because, okay. Yeah, you could tell it's, like, all glitchy and stuff when he does it. MetaQuest 3 and Demio, it's going to be the epitome of what they've done. The augmented reality of the MetaQuest 3 is outrageous.
Yeah, no, that's cool. It needs to. It's so funny because for the longest time we were talking about how VR is like the future of gaming and future, but maybe AR is the future of gaming.
It's XR is the future. That's what they're doing. That's AR and VR mixed together.
Yeah.
That sounds like an AR Elon by Musk itself. Thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
All right. Yeah, that I've been playing. Let's see what I've been playing. Starfield, of course. And I beat Starfield. I actually beat the main storyline. And there is an end to it. There is an end to it, like to the point where I can't keep playing.
Really?
Yes, which I was very surprised about, because like in any of the Fallout games, like when you get to the end, you know, you I don't know, whatever it is, you know, like you get to the end, but then you could continue on with other missions.
An expansion comes out.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I got to the end, and like if you've gotten to the end, you know what I'm talking about. Like there is no way to turn back. Like you can't, because you. I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give it away. So
all these people doing all this shit, collecting and trying to fill their ship up with scraps and all this shit, thinking that this is going to be a game that's just forever.
Well, no.
Get to this point.
Hold on. So I did it. I went to the end. I went, you know, did the whole thing, ran credits, watched the credits, did all that, did all the stuff. But and then I realized, well, I can't enter the game. Like if I enter the save file, it just puts me right back to right before I beat the game. Like, you know, so and there's no way to turn back. So all I did was just load an earlier save file before I got to that point, and now I'm good to go. So it's like, you know, it's like I did it. I saw it, but I can go back and it's fine. But it's weird. I didn't think it would be like the end of the game. It was like I beat the game.
That is
like,
weird. Wow.
Huh.
Yeah. It's weird that they don't let you go back, because like, look, just me knowing that that is it. Like, there's a difference between like Shadow of Mordor or any game where it's like, hey,
well,
the point you're about to go to, you can't go back.
Yeah, there is no end in Shadow of Mordor.
Right, but you get to the point where it's like, hey, you can't go back anymore after you go this far into the story. But then the story's done and the whole world's still there. Every fucking game does that.
And they always, every game gives you that point. And it was the same in Starfield, where they're like, you know, if you go further from here, there's no turning back, you know. But then when after you beat the boss or whatever,
there's no more game. And I think,
but you could turn back and you can play all the other, you know, missions that you didn't play and all that. So, but in this case, there is no turning back. Once you're there, that is it.
Yeah, that to me, that's weird, because then like knowing that, it makes me not even care to do anything else. Like, why am I going to go level up for any reason? Because, yeah, side missions, and if I ignore the game,
yeah, but
if I ignore the game, but see, you're not understanding. Hold on, like, hold on. It seems like it's not, if there's a sequel.
It's not about the punchline, dude. It's about the journey.
Right, but this isn't an open, what I'm saying, this isn't an open world game. So, like, you're just making it open world, like, biding your time until the end. Now, once you end it, if there's no sequel or DLC or anything, that's kind of different than, hey, I'm just doing all the side quests.
You know, that's a good point. As far as DLC goes, I don't know what they could do.
If they're not letting you continue,
I guess
the only workaround is going back in a save file, and then technically, then you're technically just building up your character more, just, but you know it's going to end, and you know that after it ends, it's over, so you're kind of like,
but they give you the choice to end it or not.
Hmm.
So you don't have to end it.
That's a weird order.
It's really, it's a little different. I kind of dig it in that way. But at the same time, I was a little sad, because I was like, man, because like when you get to the end, there is, again, I don't want to give much away. I will say you get this power, that this some kind of higher power. Let's just call it that. Okay. And it was just like, well, I want to use that now. And you can't. So unless that's what the DLC is, where you will be able to move on.
The sequel. Oh, but that's such a weird way for them to do it, because it's like, by that, I don't know, man. So then the only way they could do it is if they knew that you're going to go back, revert your save, stock your guy up, then end it on a high level, and then the DLC comes and feeds off that. Because if you spend your time now, but you don't hit the end, start the DLC. The DLC reads your last end save file, and then that DLC reads from that point on, then your character's lower leveled. Because you already saved it once, maybe? I don't know. That's very odd. I'd like to know where it's going.
But I wonder,
I wonder if they pulled a book out of like CD Projekt Red's with like the Witcher expansions, because the Witcher expansions were pretty hardy. I wonder if they're going to do that with this by maybe giving you something that would be a teaser, and it's like a to be continued. So there could be some method to the madness there. I'm surprised that they don't let you sample it a little bit to kind of wet your whistle.
I would say they cut their nose off to spite their face if they don't do something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, well, there's so much possibility. Again, I don't want to give anything away. There's so much possibility at the end that why not? Like, what? I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird storyline. And it's not that I don't like it. Okay. I definitely like it more than, you know, delivering packages, that FedEx game.
Death Stranding, everyone's favorite Kojima project.
Yes. And that game was a beautiful game, but it was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, that's really what that game, I was like, oh, yeah. All right, this is weird. But
way too overindulgent for its own good.
Yeah, I agree. But they're making a second one, so you never know. Yeah, whatever. But that's what I've been playing. It's going well. I downloaded on the Oculus, or the Meta rather, the conductor, Maestro, but I haven't done it yet, because it only uses hand tracking, right?
Yeah.
So I haven't gotten that far yet. So I was like, okay, I'll get to it. Cause I was still playing the other game. So, but yeah, that's what I've been playing. All right, Mike, you're up. What have you been playing?
I have been playing R-Type Final 2 on my Xbox Series X. I bought this game a couple weeks back because I love the R-Type series. I think it's still one of the top tier space shooters out there. There's like Gradius, the Darius series, and there was like Ikaruga in like the mid 2000s that sort of like relight back in the genre. R-Type to me has always been like really time tested as like one of the best of that style of game, and I'm surprised that like space shooters or shmups hasn't had that resurgence the way that like brawlers has. I guess that like those like style of like 2D space shooters, it's probably too old to like reinvent to some degree. But R-Type 2, beautiful game. It runs. I don't know if it runs on Unreal 5 or Unreal 4, but they did some phenomenal graphic works with this game. And I like that they kind of tweaked how some of the power ups work. So depending on the space shooter that you might have played, they'll have like speed power ups where you pick them up and you'll go faster, or you pick them up and you go slower. In this one, they actually switched it so that you can use the left bumper and the left trigger to accelerate and decelerate. So in like Gradius, I would end up getting too many speed ups because there'd be some like marathon levels where you have to rush to keep up with the screen. But if there's too many of them, you're moving too fast and you can't dodge the screen full of bullets. R-Type Final, that problem kind of exists because your ship is rather big. Depending on like the size of ship that you have, they have a very generous hitbox. But at the same time, I can't help but feel like that I'm too big of a target. But the power-ups in this game work real. It's if you played any R-Type game, you get like your option bit that's in front of you, and you can grab like various power-ups to beef it up. And my favorite one, it's actually very Truxton-ish, where it's like a tracking laser that will bounce off of walls and hit other targets. It's like the coolest weapon in the game to me. Not very powerful, but it's capable of hitting everything, and that's always the trade-off that I liked. It's also a hard bastard. I can't get past stage 2. I'm usually really good at these games, and I can't get off of stage 2 in this one. So that's a little bit disappointing. I've got to pump more hours into that. It's actually cut into my Street Fighter time because I'm trying to beat I'm trying to beat stage 2 of R-Type Final. And I've also been playing. So while I was streaming last week, I was talking with Chris, and I just asked him to rattle off games that he's been playing on Game Pass. And one of the ones that he'd pointed out was something called Castle Full of Cats. And it's a visual search game or like a hidden object game where you have to find all of the cats that are like all over the screen. And you start on the outside of a castle. You play as a calico and you're trying to rescue all of your kitty cat buddies. And it's very stress relieving. It's pretty much a Where's Waldo book or like one of those find the object by looking through the negative space like picture books. It's a kind of like that. That's what I can't believe I couldn't remember the name of that. And it's surprisingly addictive. You'll like click on the first couple of cats and it's like, oh, this is easy. And then they get smaller and they're hidden. So some of the cats will have like lines across them so that they blend in with the negative space. And it gets really interesting to try and find a lot of them. I wound up playing this game for like 2 or 3 hours. And I think I found like 76 cats. I think there's 400 total. And when you reach a certain threshold, you can find, you can get access to the other parts of the castle to do it. This game's like $3 on a Xbox. I don't know if it's on any other platform, but yeah, it was just a random one that I happened to pick up and have a little bit of fun with. It's a good stress relieving game. And I'm a crazy cat person, so right up my alley. I also got a new Switch because my other Switch exploded about a month back, so that I could play F-Zero 99. And I realized how bad I am at F-Zero. It's one of those Super Nintendo games that I didn't play a lot of, because once you get your hands on Mario Kart, there's like F-Zero really kind of became irrelevant to me. F-Zero 99, it's pretty addictive. I'm terrible at it. And I think it's because everybody knows how the shortcut works. So I have not unlocked a lot of the other vehicles yet, but they all come with like some different abilities. So there's variables there, but I have not gotten used to that like spin move used to like knock people off of you. And I haven't like learned all of the shortcuts on the stages. So I'm doing terrible at it so far. But I'm going to keep practicing at this one. Will I get the first place in this one or will I get the first place in Tetris 99? I'm not sure. Like I beat Pac-Man 99. But Tetris and F-Zero, it's going to be a dead heat for these ones, but so far I suck at the game. I should probably
block that. Shout out to Truxton lovers.
Yes. Out there. So that an Embracer Group bought it, so they're supposed to be making another one allegedly.
That'd be cool. I'd be into that.
They better keep the same music.
I know.
I also had to start Honkai Star Rail over. That's like the other game. That's the other HoYoverse game from the Genshin Impact people. But I kind of effed myself in the A. So I originally started this game on someone's laptop. I was playing it on the laptop and I'd logged in through there, and I had a gross oversight because I'd started Genshin Impact in my HoYoverse account on another email. I couldn't log in to my account when I downloaded on the PS5. So all of my stuff is now locked onto PC, which my PC can't run shit right now. But I couldn't port my stuff over because my HoYoverse account is attached to my other email. So on the PlayStation 5, I've got to start all over again. Yeah. So that was like 18 hours of RPGing right back from the start. Fortunately, I wasn't very long in the game, and I haven't put any actual money into it. At least, not a lot. I think I put like $15 in it just to get like some experience points to boost or to cheat, as the community likes to say.
You should stop playing those kinds of games.
I really should.
You should stop playing those games. Cool. Good one, Verlaine.
You should pick a different genre that's not going to coerce you into wasting your money.
Okay.
Heard it there. Yeah. I'm
nice and awkward. Thank you, Verlaine, for that.
Probably going to roll. It's just gonna become a four honor.
I got a game for you.
Spend your money.
It's called Skinner. All right, it's called Skinner, and you play as this probably one of the cutest little kittens you've ever seen, and it's kind of like the same as Stray, but it's way brutal. And what you do is hunt down other stray cats and you skin them. I mean, think gore like the boy
dressed the cat.
You skin the cat and you wear its coat to be bigger. You're piling skin onto yourself. Would you play a game like that? Because it's made up.
That sounds fun. Like, get started.
You're
on
sick,
that one.
Man. You are sick. You are sick in the head. I love it, though. I love it. All right. All right. Mike, give us your retro reboot.
My retro reboot, which you can read at gamefixshow.com. I posted it yesterday, and I reviewed Double Dribble on the NES. A few years ago, I reviewed the sequel for the Genesis, and I don't think it was anywhere near as good as the original. The original Double Dribble, we put hours into that game as kids. Just finding all of the sweet spots on the court that were almost guaranteed three-pointers. But between that and its presentation was pretty ahead of its time. I'm surprised Konami got out of the running later on. Yeah, well, it's probably because like companies like EA Sports and like Sega Sports were throwing money at like the official leagues. But Konami sports games were very transformative for their time. Between Blades of Steel and
Blades of Steel.
Between that and like Track and Field, they nailed nailed sports presentation on like 8-bit consoles to like really give the feel of like sports game.
What they did honestly was their characters were the best. Their figures, their people in their games looked the best at that time. Like when you're playing basketball or any sports game, usually Nintendo, it's like big head, little body, cartoony. But these were like proportionate people that were filling the screen. You got all the people. It was good. It was kind of a wonder. Like Track and Field was one of my favorite games just because of that. It was like real people. There were three fucking frames of animation, but they were fucking sweet.
And like all the events had like all different sprites. In like other games, they would just like rework a sprite. In like Track and Fields 1 and 2, everything looked different. So it made it feel that much deeper. And we also had the old power pad back in the day when we were playing Track and Field. And that thing was a hell of a workout. No, none of us was ever good at it. So we just fall down onto the mat and just tap the pad to do the hurdles. It was a solid. Double Dribble. If you got buddies that are over, or if you can find it on like MAME or something and play it online, crack open some beers. You'll have a good time for hours.
Double Dribble.
Is that how it sounds?
Double Dribble.
It was like, because like when you couldn't get the cart to work, and you'd like put it in, and like the screen would be all glitchy, the guy would still go
Rumble dribble.
So our cart was faulty. So every time we'd clean it and put it back in, the screen wouldn't work. But
Rumble dribble,
like great right, reset.
At least you get that. Dribble. Yeah, at least you get that.
Blaine's on dribble.
I think Konami did a baseball one, but I don't know if it came over here. But yeah.
The Blades of Steel action. Yeah. Anyway.
Somewhere between that and NHL 94 are like some of the best hockey games from back in the day.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. We're good. Go check that out. Go check the Retro Reboot. He does it every week, Tuesdays. GameFixShow.com is where to find it. All right. It's done. We're past it. It's happened. The acquisition of Blizzard... Activision
Acta King.
Acta King is complete. Finally. And they did their first thing as owners. And I know Verlaine, you got to be happy about this because this is something that has been long overdue. It's long overdue. They're updating some Overwatch, you know, giving us some fun things, right? It's about time. We've been waiting for some stuff. And the first thing they're doing is they're teaming up with a K-pop group called La Seraphim. What the fuck?
But where's this going though?
Like, okay, so so on October 26th, it's called the Perfect Night music video, gonna premiere right there on Overwatch. You can watch it. You can just open it up and open it. So really, Overwatch is turning into
it's like Fortnite. They're gonna have multimedia.
So November, that's when the music video comes out. But November 1st is the exclusive in-game event featuring the K-pop group, band, whatever they're called.
I can't fucking wait.
And then, are you ready for this? November 4th, a BlizzCon appearance.
Is it somebody irrelevant?
No, it's that band. It's that K-pop.
Oh, yay.
Oh, dude, they're going all fucking out.
I'm glad. And it's in America, right? So they're an American company with their fest in America, and they're getting musicians from other countries. Like, hey, listen, half the countries out there are like 10 years behind us. What the fuck are you doing? Jesus fuck, dude. That's stupid. Overwatch.
That was their idea. Like, this is what we're doing. All right.
This can't be Xbox. Xbox themselves would not be like, hey guys, first act of business. Let's get the most obscure, dumb fucking thing you could think of and throw it not only in the game, but just, I don't know, dude. What the fucking shit?
Yeah.
I seriously wish there were two different Overwatches, one for grown-ups that actually want to play a game that's cool, and one for everyone else who's just a retarded.
Just an idiot. Like, just morons. Yeah, well, here we are. That's the kind of why I brought it up, because I wanted to piss you
Overwatch
off.
Overwatch is the, like, honestly, Overwatch itself, everybody knows. I mean, like, I think it's the best game made. Like, I love playing Overwatch. I love what it is. Everything, like the balancing, the things they've done, like Overwatch as a game is fucking my favorite. Yeah. But this is the only game on earth and any time that's ever been that I have been swayed and pushed away from a game because of the fucking people who play it.
Right.
How can the fan base of a game be so bad that it destroys the game?
It's so toxic, dude. Like, it's ridiculous.
I don't know if they think they can change the culture of it with it, but I see them doing, because like they did this with, what was it? The One Punch Man crossover. And then there was this, I think there was like another one before that. So they're clearly tapping into that Eastern anime market because there's money to exploit there. I don't think that community meshes with Overwatch though. So it's two different cultural mashups that I don't know works.
They're listening to their pro fucking esports people, and that's what they fucking want to hear. Like, these athletes are fucking oogling over these fucking K-pop bands, and it's because they're fucking from there. And I get it, like. I love Hitman and Eidos and all them people that are like inviting all sorts of cultures. And if we're going to have India in our game, it's going to be India represented by real Indians working on our team.
Which makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. Right. And good. That's great for Overwatch, except we don't need the actual culture brought to our country. We have our own culture. So that's going to make money when you're in Korea, but outside of that, it's not. Like, if you had fucking Metallica, you think anyone in Japan is going to like this shit? No. They're going to say the same fucking thing. So separate it, or just, what are they, I don't know, man. Like, why would you be making a game and be like, hey, man, let's focus on this than our fucking failing game? you know it'll bring it back? A fucking group of girls.
They're apparently really popular, I guess.
It's all good though. It's all good because it doesn't matter. You don't play it anyway. So what do you care?
But I just wish, if one day they were like, "Hey, man," or "Dude," I just wish even a group, a local group of fucking real guys who wanted to get together on a team, play nightly or once a week, get together and fucking beat the shit out of all the little kids playing the game. I'd be down.
Okay, like so people. On November 1st, Overwatch 2 will launch a game mode inspired by Le Sserafim. Le Sserafim's music alongside legendary hero skins.
Well, I mean, they should go advertise this somewhere else.
Where were they advertising? They should go somewhere else.
Le Sserafim is from. They'll fucking give a fuck.
Yeah.
Not me. Hey, we're going to make a fucking, you're telling me you're making a level inspired by a fucking band? Is there going to be music notes everywhere? Is there going to be teen fans everywhere? Is it going to be a concert, like a theater?
I don't know.
What the fuck does that mean?
You know, we got to talk to Gina about if
you're all right, Ren.
Yeah, we have to talk about to Gina if Japanese people would be down with Metallica. Yeah,
they would because, it's Metallica. Yeah. Maybe Metallica's worldwide, but let's say fucking, I don't know, Nicki Minaj.
System of a Down.
System of a Down, yeah.
Wake up!
This shit. I'm
sorry.
A little makeup.
Sugar! All right, let's move on. Shall we? Let's move on. Well, we're not going to quite move on because, the man, the myth, the legend, Phil Spector, said, pretty much, handed out the olive branch to, PlayStation 5 Sony players, saying that, you're welcome here. The gamers are the heartbeat of our company, blah, blah, blah. You're always going to get your gaming no matter which console. So good on him, right? At least he set everyone's mind to ease, right? Everyone's like, oh, that's good. Yeah.
I know. Now you're allowed to go buy an Xbox and play Xbox. Thanks for your permission, Phil. So, Phil, like, we get it. You already won, so shut up. Like, this is the time where you could be like, fuck you guys, Call of Duty's ours. Eat my balls.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
Where's my Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, let's cry about this. Meanwhile, Spider-Man's fucking coming out.
He's what?
Twisting the knife.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he should. I mean, like you said, he won.
He didn't need to say it, though. They've been that way since Minecraft.
So the winner goes to spoils, as they say there, Verlaine. So let him take a lap. Let him take a lap, okay?
Right? Hey, it's like when Palpatine was delivering the address in front of the Senate after he issued the order to kill off the Jedi. So he says,
"You're welcome, PlayStation users, to play all your games that you want."
Are you comparing Phil Spencer to Palpatine?
So do you think a move is gonna coming up soon will be them trying to get the cloud onto PlayStation?
He directed PlayStation 5 and Switch players. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
yeah. Never mind.
I think that a lot of the Sony base is angry. They're still angry. So I really think that he threw that out there just to kind of watch them turn into a bunch of rabid World War Z zombies.
Here's the official quote. Sorry, everybody. Here's the official quote. You are the heart and soul of these franchises, and we are honored to have you as a part of our community. Whether you play on Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, PC, or mobile, you are welcome here and will remain welcome even if Xbox isn't where you play your favorite franchise.
He's probably talking on behalf of Blizzard / Activision.
That's no shit, Verlaine.
Well, I thought he was just saying in general, everybody. Yeah. Hey, guys, PlayStation people, you can still come and play Xbox.
No, no, he's saying,
hey, if you're playing Blizzard, you're still welcome. That's saying that Blizzard
Activision will be available to everybody, no matter what. That's really what he's trying to say. Because, like, I mean, we've said it here before. Why wouldn't they make it available to PlayStation? Why, like, I mean, that's cutting your nose.
PlayStation wouldn't do it to fucking Xbox. PlayStation wouldn't do it to Xbox.
I'm aware. PlayStation
wasn't smart enough to buy them.
It's true. It's true.
Watch, the next Destiny is going to come out exclusively on PlayStation. And then I'm going to beat down their fucking door, and whoever is the fucking president, I'm just going to fucking curb jaw him on his own desk.
Tell us how you really feel. And it's going to be like... Something like that. Something like that. All right, well, you know what? You said Spider-Man 2... Let's talk about that right now. Let's talk about Spider-Man 2. And what's to talk about? Well, fast traveling. Okay. That's the big point that people are talking about. You know, can we fast travel? You know, yes, you can. They are saying that you could fast travel as quick as 1.33 seconds. Pretty fucking fast.
That's great. It should be. It's fucking a single player game that's fucking stationary. Fucking. So
cool thing about it though is when you fast travel, you could fast travel really really fast, but they give you an option as you fast travel. Okay, so that's what kind of slows it down a little bit. And the option is either play as Spider-Man or Miles Morales or Peter Parker as Miles Morales. So.
Uh-huh. Oh, when you fast travel?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but so
that's cool. That's
like cool. Fast, I don't understand. So fast travel's in every game on Earth. And the game that I wouldn't want fast travel in, Spider-Man. Fucking no shit. Like I would not want fucking fast travel on Spider-Man, and people want it. Look, if you're not swinging through the streets traveling like Spider-Man, you are fucking literally anybody else in any other fucking fighting game.
Yeah.
But that's cool. You guys got your fucking fast travel, dude. 1 second fast travel. Awesome.
I do relate.
Take that 1 second and you can cram it into a 10 second block. And then you can text me and ask me how I'm doing while I'm playing with my fucking friends online.
You don't have any friends. You don't have any friends. Stop it. Stop it. See, my friends are Spider-Man, Peter Parker, and Miles Morales. Those are my friends.
PlayStation will always have that like fast loading, like with Ratchet and Clank, you like couldn't even tell.
Yeah.
But like if it's not online, that's how it's going to be. Because even Xbox, if you play old Xbox 360 games, dude, they're loading in a heartbeat.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting
Street
for
Fighter
games to load.
Player Punk, actually. Like he'd actually like posted like if you fast travel in Spider-Man you got a sad like you have a sad life.
The cool thing is that Spider-Man 2 comes out this week, so it comes out on Friday, so that's fun. I will be playing that, that's for sure. And then Verlaine will have to buy a PlayStation so he could play it.
I'll just wait. I'll just watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, well, is this going to be on PS4 too? Because if this is going to be on PS4, I don't think you're getting that quick loading time.
No, it's not going to be. If it's on PS4, everyone should be pissed off, honestly, because, it should
not. No, it is PS5, only PS5.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, I'd love to play it, but and at this point, there's so many different Spider-Man stories in our lives, like media-wise, that it's just I can wait.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna do the same thing that I did like the other one, just like get it later.
Yeah, when Spider-Man the game came out, it was the only game, and Spider-Man there was no Tom Holland Spider-Man, so that's why I was like fucking yeah. But now there's Tom Holland, there's fucking the Spider-Verse. There's the Avengers game.
Miles Morales. Yeah.
Miles Morales.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that's cool. Sure. It comes out. You know what else comes out soon? Ghostbusters VR.
And Super Mario Brothers Wonder. Ugh. When does that come out?
It comes out Baldur's Gate too. Is going to beat them all for Game of the Year.
Baldur's Gate.
You think so?
Is there enough nerds that are going to be awake voting for that game? Because, like, I don't know. That's still, like, it's...
Oh, yeah, Mario comes out on Friday as well. So, yeah, Mario and Spider-Man head-to-head, dude. That's a battle I want to see.
Hey, a friggin' 7-year-old Switch chugging along against consoles. This is a 2D Mario game, which already has gotten like glowing ratings on everyone. It's like, oh, this one should be Game of the Year. Will it beat a Spider-Man game
with Nintendo? So
maybe
with Nintendo. So like about what they are about, and not piracy and stuff. Like, how many people could have possibly played this Mario game to actually give fucking such rave reviews or say that it's going to be good? Like, I would think that only a handful, not enough to warrant like all these.
Well, I mean, considering
just speculation, just people saying like, oh,
Switch is owned by more people than Xbox and PlayStation put together. I would say a lot, Verlaine.
Well, they do those review embargoes. I haven't heard any embargoes.
No, I'm saying no. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying how many people are going to buy the game. Like before the game comes out, only certain people get video games to play. Popular reviewers, but being Nintendo, I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
All these Mario games went out for people to try out before it was available, as much as all these Spider-Man games for people to have all these reviews. You know what I'm saying? Before the games were even out. That's what baffles me, because, I mean, look, if that's the case, no fucking Nintendo game ever fucking made is bad. None of them. None of them are bad.
Okay.
That's what they're saying, though. And that's what, like, that's just, like, hard to believe, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's it is also a thing with the Switch where they – well, so certain outlets will, like, juice up those reviews. There are – I mean, there's of course, like, the bias sites, like Nintendo Life and Nintendo Everything. Everything's going to be, like, a 9 out of 10 with them. And, like, IGN, just to not face the scorn of people that write on that like, will visit those other sites, because everybody will, like, kick IGN for, like, their review scores. It's like, you get – like, it's actually reached a point now we're in – 8 out of 10. I think they gave Spider-Man 2 an 8 out of 10 for their review, and the Sony fans wanted to slit their throats for it. Like, because an 8 out of 10 is like a bad score now, but like I think they also gave Mario Wonder a like 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10. And it's like a 10 out of 10 at this point means absolutely nothing, because they've given it to like almost every other game. So,
yeah.
And it's still the fact that Nintendo is still releasing one game at a time. They don't even have enough people making games for the Switch. So by default, every game that comes out, everyone's going to buy it, or else your Switch is going to be redundant. So to keep it alive, you have to buy the newest game. And that's kind of how the PSP ended up. It's like, it came to like, you're just going to buy every fucking release that comes out because it's going to be so spread out that you can. And then by that, every fucking title is going to like outsell everyone else because there's more Switches than Xbox. So whatever comes out on Mario Day is going to get outsold just by default, because no one that has a Switch is going to be like, Mario or what else?
Right.
Zelda or
yeah.
There's nothing else. I mean, it's a good strategy. Sure. I buy like, fucking totally.
All right. Well, speaking of Mario. Like, what's that, Mike?
Who's going out there to buy like Mortal Kombat 1 on the Switch on purpose?
Ugh. They're still trying to fix that game. That game was terrible on the Switch.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Anyway, well, like I said, speaking of Mario, we now know the voice of Mario, which was weird that they like kept it a secret. So ridiculous. His name is Kevin Afghani, he looks like this. Sure, that's him. That's Mario now.
He looks happy.
Cool. He doesn't have much of a background as far as He's only been voicing things since 2020. So he doesn't have a lot of things. He did some stuff with Genshin Impact and some stuff with Cuphead. That's about it. So
yeah.
he's a newbie. He's a nobody, and which is good. I think that was a good call to get a nobody, and hopefully he has a future.
You could fire a nobody and replace a nobody very easily.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there you go.
And it wasn't AI like people feared it was going to be.
Yeah.
AI, they should have. Like, why not? Wait, AI, that would just be like, how would it, what? AI, just anybody could record it. I would rather just have a nobody record it than program a fucking computer.
Yeah, why does Mario need to talk?
He doesn't. He never did.
No, he never did.
I mean, Zelda doesn't talk. Link, I mean, should be the one talking.
Yeah.
Link doesn't talk. They should give a voice to Link and fuck Mario.
Anyway. All right. Moving on from that. Unity, the CEO, has stepped down in the wake of the installment fee controversy. It just blows my mind because, like, okay, so here's this company, and they had this big idea that, you know, if any, you know, the developers using Unity, it will have to pay this fee and blah, 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 and all of this. And then in the wake of that, in the wake of him being like, this is a great idea, we're sticking to it, yes, I'm out of here now. Now he's leaving. Because he knows it's a fucking terrible idea. He knows it's going to ruin a lot of fucking indie game developers. And he's getting so much flack for it that he couldn't fucking handle it, so he stepped out. It's fucking... Fuck.
Well, douchebag. I don't know how nobody could have seen that coming.
John Riccitiello. Like, wow.
That is a name. Wow.
God, he even looks like a villain. Anyway, it's just, I don't know, man. Like if you implement this huge thing for your company, right? Like, I mean, you implement this thing that's, I mean, it's unprecedented what they've done, and then your fucking president and CEO can't even stick around because it sounds like he doesn't even support it. I don't know, man. It could be.
I mean, because like sometimes he can get outvoted depending on how their business structure is. Right. And then he could be like, well, I'm out. Or he could be pushed out. He could have been against the idea, and they could be like, you're the only one against it.
Yeah, that's fair.
But the idea itself, I mean, look, everyone needs to make money. Everyone's going to make money. And Epic did stupid shit. And look, they're still fucking guy of their little Fortnite followers after the whole Apple debacle. These guys are going to charge money. And as I said, it's unfortunate for people who are like almost done with their games using Unity, and now they need to pay for whatever the fucking reason. But if you're really serious about your game, you'll find a way to do it. You'll raise enough money. Or maybe there's somebody out there that can finally bring their engine that they've been working on to life. You know, there's so many other avenues. To think that Unreal Engine is the only one that they can use, or Unity is the only one that they can use, that would make it a monopoly. And that's not fucking right.
Well, keep in mind, in July of last year, he apologized for saying something about developers. He called both the most beautiful and pure brilliant people and some of the biggest fucking idiots.
Why would he apologize for that,
dude? That's that guy. Keep that in mind.
I mean,
that's based.
I mean, it's something I would say. Like, look, your game is fucking awesome, but individually, you guys are losers and you're morons.
Yeah.
And that's what, look, I don't even fucking care. You guys don't know me. Look, I've said it. Some developers, like, you know, you have main people, the business owners, they came up with the idea. They're making all the money. They, it's their thing. You are just a cog in the system. There's no reason to treat you any like you're a celebrity, or that you are anything more than just a worker programming what you're told to program. It's not like you're one of the creatives that are designing shit and like you have a say. And that's who I'm talking about, is just the people that they were video game testers back in the day, and now they're just kind of doing the same thing, just on a grander scale.
Sure.
Yeah, we need you for our games, but I don't.
It's fair. Well, you don't work for the company, so that's
what you don't need. Well, I mean, I meant
I know what you meant.
The games, no matter what.
I know.
So they can be without him. But yeah, that's
there. You go.
Look, I would have respected him more if he didn't rescind on that. If he didn't apologize, and if he would have maybe just explained, like I did. Like, this is why I said it. And if you have a problem, prove me wrong then. Don't be a goddamn idiot. Don't be sitting here telling me you can't achieve goals when you're fucking a professional.
Right. It just comes off as overly dishonest. It's just a very dishonest practice.
Right. That's what it is. But I mean, being a CEO and a president, you don't get there on being honest and respectful. Let's be fair. So I don't know. It's a thin line, you know. One or the other. All right, let's get off that a little bit. What's that?
Work for Randy Pitchford, so you got a point.
Yes. Right. All right. Well, so there was a recent town hall meeting for Activision Blizzard employees, as you can imagine, and the CEO Bobby Kotick, who is, by the way, stepping down at some point. discuss potential opportunities provided by Microsoft's upcoming acquisition, including the reemergence of Guitar Hero. Your thoughts?
Mike?
Really has no thoughts.
I think they missed that window. I feel like they missed that window a couple of years back. I think like with like the games that you guys were talking about, stuff like Maestro, that's the future. I don't think that anybody wants to buy any peripherals to play Rock Band and Guitar Hero again. Like it's done. Yeah. It's over.
I agree.
Novelty act well at best.
Well said. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have my PlayStation 2 hooked up downstairs. Every once in a while, I'll fire that some bitch up, pick up that guitar and play some Guitar Hero because it's fun. But like, I already have it. I don't need to buy it again. We're good.
Yeah.
Because they tried it again a couple years back for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And they tried something new with, six buttons instead of five. Just wasn't the same, man. Just wasn't the same.
They're not going to be able to get the same cool music either. Music is like, we've heard all the good stuff that could be licensed. And now it's going to be a bunch of, I think it's just like, honestly, the popular music of today probably wouldn't fit it. She's in. I mean, Guitar Hero was good.
It's time,
Yeah.
I played the shit out of that game, dude. Like, I couldn't even tell you how many fucking hours I put in that game. But, yeah, it is what it is, man.
That's the game they want to bring back, huh?
Yeah. I don't know why. Here we are.
Billy Eilish.
Yeah, seriously. Well, speaking of games that they might bring back, this is actually one that I've been waiting for that they might bring back. Okay. And that's Max Payne 4. They're saying plans have been confirmed by the developer that they are moving forward with creating a new Max Payne. I myself have always been a huge Max Payne supporter, and this is actually something I'm listening to. I want to know more about this because with what we used to have as far as the graphics and all that, it was good for the time. You know what I mean? It was amazing. It was awesome how they did it. You know, with the bullet time, all of that. Now moving forward, now we have like PlayStation 5. We're so far advanced from where they were. Like, there's a lot more they can do with this. I think this is kind of exciting. I don't know, Verlaine. Is that? I mean, do you agree with that, or is there? Are we past Max Payne?
No, Max Payne. What Max Payne had besides that was a fucking story, and it was a story like. That still people don't emulate pretty much just self deprecation through the whole fucking thing. I mean, look, you play GTA 5 and Michael has the bullet time ability. So it's kind of like Max Payne-ish.
Sure.
I think that that could be a clever way to go, is kind of incorporating him into the whole GTA thing. But I'm 100% down. I even like the multiplayer of that game. That bullet time was awesome. I mean, it was awesome. Like they did it right.
They nailed it. They really did.
Yeah, I would definitely play it. I would love to see what other things they could do. But shit, dude, I want a game where it's kind of like, you know, you can do the bullet time, but you can actually go around kind of like Quicksilver and go fuck with people. Like stop time and then like move everything and then trigger it and everything's like. Brrr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of did that. They kind of did that with what's the
Quantum Break?
Thank you, Quantum Break. I was like, I know you got it.
Yeah,
the time bubble was kind of that.
That was
sweet. Control kind of did that too without the bullet time.
Dude, there was nothing better than throwing that time bubble at like a bunch of guys and then shooting them, and then turning it off, and they just go like that. Like, dude, that is so fucking cool, man. Yeah, I mean,
like,
then fast forward after Max Payne with the Matrix games, you know, Enter the Matrix, the Path of Neo, they nailed bullet time in that too. So I don't know.
Hell yeah! Right. I used to put on the
even though like, focus and it's on... like true crime games, like the Lifestyle of Action, it was like almost ahead of its time, and just sort of like converged, and like now many developers. Sort of emulated a little bit. I still think there's room for like Max Payne to kind of like reinvent how action games could work.
I agree.
Like currently, I think that like Insomniac Spider-Man is currently the like standard for like how action games could play. Now they can like build on top of that.
Right. They are saying that they will. They have confirmed that Max Payne 1 and 2 remake will be released on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. So it'll be. What other game did they do that where they took the two games and made it one? I can't remember. There was another remake. Now I can't remember.
I don't know. They did that. I mean, they did that with the whole Hitman universe.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah, maybe
it's all just one game that's just run on. There's no differentiating. So it's gonna go on. It's like continuation. They're remastering it.
They're remaking it. They have to remake it in order to make it to the standards of today. You know what I mean? And that's really where my ears kind of went. Like I want to know more about that because once we get that, once we see how that plays. Then I'll be like, okay, now I'm really excited about a Max Payne 4. You know what I mean? Because like that's like the next step. Although that means they're skipping 3, in my opinion.
I think you
can awesome,
play 3 though. Backwards compatible though.
Sure.
You can play all of them backwards.
Yeah, I think you can. But this one will be a complete remake. Yeah. Pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that.
I'm almost surprised they didn't do that with Manhunt first. Like people love Manhunt. I don't know if it was that popular.
Yeah. I think Manhunt is like Bully, man.
Following.
Yeah, I think Manhunt is like Bully. They just they're not no one wants to touch it. You know what I mean? Seriously. Because that dude, fucking Manhunt, what a crazy fucking game. But it was so cool. It was so innovative. It was so real. Fresh, man. But you know, even to this day. Creepy as hell.
That's what I feel like. Oh, we don't want it to compete with Dead by Daylight or something. But man, I'll still like fire it up on the PS2, and I still think it feels cool.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So Suicide Squad's map is reportedly 2 times the size of Arkham Knight's Gotham.
And so is their fucking release window.
Good one, actually. That was a good one. Yeah. So there's that.
And quite frankly, I don't give a shit because there's no fucking game out. You can tell me the map is as big as Earth, and I don't give a fuck because so is Google Earth. Google Earth has a bigger map than fucking Gotham Knights. If that's a fucking thing, I'm going to go play Gotham. I'm going to go play Google Earth.
Well, there's no game. Suicide
Squad.
That's fair. Every once in a while, they'll implement the Pac-Man game in Googler.
That'd be awesome. Dude, I always thought that somebody should somehow get something going where you have the rights to use that and make a fucking game in Google Earth. Like, imagine GTA, but it's got Google Earth fed information. It's fucking Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. You may never see part of the game ever, but fucking it's Earth, dude.
Yeah.
Earth, the greatest planet.
Yeah, that's like Mars. Like 14% of like Pokemon Go is, but
yeah. Speaking of, we're moving on.
I don't want overly gigantic maps.
Mike must have a delay. I think that's what's happening. Okay, all right. Speaking of a GTA, Netflix wants to develop a GTA with a Take-Two license.
They want to develop
like a show.
A GTA. Oh, a show?
No.
I don't think you can do that with GTA.
I don't know.
Because even though GTA has a story, the story is never the same. It's not a continuing story. It's more episodic. And a lot of the meat of the game, obviously, because it's already however many years old, is in what people make the game to be.
Unless the show is just Trevor.
If it's a Trevor show, like, that could be fuck. If they have no holds barred, Amazon Prime type shit, Trevor, yes.
That would be fucking
That's it.
Crazy. Yeah.
That's it. You know what? No. I think it would be fucking crazy, honestly, if Trevor and somebody like Franklin were stuck together. So those times two are stuck together, the fucking gangster and the fucking crazy serial killer. Yeah. I think that would be a fucking sweet show.
Yeah.
That'd be like Anthony Mackie and Sweet Tooth hanging out for the entire time, right?
That's pretty much what it is, too. Which, by the way, that was a great show. I did finish that. Did you guys finish that? I don't know.
I never saw it. I don't have
that. It's fucking crazy.
I saw like the first two episodes.
It's fucking crazy.
It's wacky.
Yeah, it's wacky. It's totally wacky. But man, Sweet Tooth. Fuck. What a crazy motherfucker. But it's awesome. But I love that they give him a little background and show like how why he is the way he is. Oh man, it's fucking great. Like I was like watching it, I'm like, oh my god. Like that episode where they explain like his background, like what made him the reason what he is. Whew, fuck man. That's crazy. You'll have to see it. You'll have to see Gold. It. Yeah. I did want to give a little shout out or a rest in peace, unfortunately, to Burt Young. You guys know who Burt Young is? Of course you do. He's Paulie in the Rocky movies. Of course you do.
Oh. I know who Paulie is. Paulie died.
Yeah, Paulie. It's too bad. I just want to throw
that. I didn't even know he was still alive. He's old. Shit. It's like 100.
He's 83. He wasn't 100.
Oh.
So. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, some people said that he died in 2012 when Creed came out because he wasn't there, but he just wasn't in the movie. That's all. Maybe that's what you were thinking. I don't know.
I think his character was dead.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, his character died. That's you're right. Yeah. You're a bright one there, Mikey. All right. Verlaine.
I am smart.
So there are plenty of video game movies coming, as you know.
Cool. I like it.
But Stray is the one you should be excited about.
Nice. Why?
I don't know. I'm just kind
of thrilled. Because of robots. Because animal movies do so fucking great. Like, when's the last time? Like, they've had to make one that's just flat out R-rated because nobody gives a fuck about talking animals.
Well, Stray, they don't talk, right?
Right. But cat has to have some sort of human personality that's not a cat. Because then it would just, the movie would just show the cat. He'd walk by a robot, look at the robot, walk, and there's the end of the movie. He fucking went somewhere. I don't know. He crawled under a car or something. End of Stray. So it's going to be unbelievable right off the bat.
Yep.
Oh, a cat. I need to go up there and talk to fucking robots. Meow, meow, meow.
Yeah, it's robot, like the robot. Interact with the human.
So I get to watch. So the game is like, it lets me be a cat. And the movie's going to let me watch a cat.
Probably.
Is this like a U-Bowl, yeah. U-Bowl movie?
Oh my god!
Do it.
No,
fart.
not like Cuba Bowl movies. Hopefully,
okay.
Although I like Postal.
Postal.
I didn't what
a crazy game. Well, it's a video. It was a video game first. Yeah.
It's like the only one of the bowl movies that I felt was decent, because like House of the Dead was just wacky. They would actually splice in clips of the freaking game game over screen in House of the Dead.
Yeah, I remember that. I saw it in the movie theater.
Yeah, it was no whack. If they do Strays like an independent kind of movie and not really like a big budget, then again this is like Sony and they think that their games are like that level of quality.
They think their movies are that level of quality. Not,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, I did like Uncharted. Like, I did like Uncharted way more than I thought that I would.
But no one else did. No one liked Morbius, and no one liked anything that they ever put out except for Spider-Man, which was actually helped with Marvel. So, like,
that's true.
Sony's movies fucking blow dick. So much so that the shit that they do, like, produce, like... I want to say Gen V maybe, or there's a show that's out there now that Sony produces, and it's not straight up just Sony. Like it's, I don't know. It's, I wouldn't watch this movie if you fucking had a gun to my head.
Okay. Well, I have a, there's going to be a live action reboot of an old 90s cartoon. Verlaine, is that something you're excited to hear about?
No.
Okay.
Not,
well,
what, I know what you're talking about, but.
Gargoyles.
Yeah. I never really got into the cartoon. It was a little... I was too old for when it came out. I think I was just, like, not watching cartoons anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no idea how you make this a good-looking live-action thing. But, I mean, I don't know enough about gargoyles. I just know that the idea is just baffles the fuck out of me. The game does look kind of cool. I saw the clips for the remake of the old game they just released, the re-release.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mike, explain it, because, I mean, people didn't fucking like this movie, this show to begin with. Well, are they just running out of shit? What's going on?
This is funny, because Gargoyles has that, like, nostalgia for it. But at the time, the fans turned on the show after, like early into its second season, because the writing went off the rails. And I think the most notable thing for it is that a lot of the Star Trek: The Next Generation cast were like playing a lot of the voices of the characters. And to me, this is something about Disney Plus. How bad are their subscriber numbers that they're resorting on a remake of a show that they've always hated? Back in the day, Disney did not want to greenlight Gargoyles, but they were starved for like original content. So it was like, okay, yeah, we'll have the show.
Yeah, well,
it had a popular first season, and then it went way off the fucking rails.
Yeah, I mean, new ideas, new people. I get it. You know, people change. People, you know, things change. So I don't blame them for that. I feel like that's just whatever. Nostalgia is in, as we know. So, like,
yeah,
these gripes are. So here's a fact. People that watched Gargoyles when it was on TV. This is a fact.
All right.
People that watched Gargoyles when it was on TV and enjoyed watching them. We were children, right? They're kids.
Right.
None of us in any fucking cartoon that we ever fucking watched gave a shit about the writing. No one, not one show went by and I'm like, damn, season two fucking sucks compared to the first season. No, you didn't, because most shit was episodic anyways. So who gives a fuck? This is people that watched it when it was a kid, got nostalgic about it, went back, and then realized it was written wrong while they're adults. And that's not fair to complain, because it's still made for kids. So it can go off the fucking chain, because... we're kids. Like, half the shit we watch now, we're like, wow, I can't believe they got away with that, because we were kids and we just didn't understand it.
Right.
And that's like, what's going on.
Ren and Stimpy and all that. Yeah.
Right. Like, it was worse than we even thought it was. So I think that it's like, it's another one of those things. It's just, someone's just forced this to be popular when it's everything's like that. Like, the fucking prequels to Star Wars are fucking like that.
Yeah.
No one liked them until everyone did. There was nothing that triggered that moment. It wasn't the sequels coming out and then people were like, oh, I love the prequels. No, that wasn't it. They just got bored. Nothing was going on. Ah, let's just fucking love the sequels for no reason because we can't love the originals anymore.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Well, all it takes is a handful of bloggers going, these are reasons why we were wrong about this.
Yeah. Wow. Those people always exist. Well, yeah.
You saw the movie poster for The Little Mermaid with Flounder on it.
Yeah.
That's a legit and that's the problem. That's the problem with these whole like live action remakes. I don't know who thought that this was a good idea to make all these, but like part of the allure and magic of animation is that you can do stuff you can't do in real life because it wouldn't work. Just like Flounder looking like a real flounder, it's an atrocity. You know, these things, gargoyles, if you want to make them look real, like I don't think you can keep that kid undertone or else they're going to look stupid. You got to make them look like fucking gargoyles. We're supposed to be so scary. They scared evil spirits. How do you make a kid show about that?
Jack. Yes. Everybody loves Hayden Christensen.
Yes. Yes.
You underestimate my power. Anyway.
I hate you. I hate Give my you. Lightsaber to my son.
That's how he said. I remember that line.
No, when Obi gives it to Luke.
Yeah.
This was your father's. He wanted you to have it.
Did he?
He would have wanted you to have it.
He would have wanted you.
I hate you. I hate you. Give my son my lightsaber.
Could you imagine if that was the fucking line? Like, but then it would be like, oh, he did say.
He knew.
Yeah, he's just halfway on fire and he's like, ugh.
Or maybe after he became Darth Vader, he sent Obi-Wan a message saying, please, would you, if you're so kind, please give my old lightsaber to my son. Which, by the way, I didn't know he existed at the time.
And he was a good friend.
Yes. Yes. All right. On that note, thank you so much for watching us live. And thank you also for downloading, watching or listening to the show. You guys help us more than you even know, and we do appreciate all the downloads. Thank you. You can go on our website, gamefixshow.com. That's where you get everything, social medias. You can listen to our latest show right there on our website, as well as all the articles from Mike and Gino. Boom, boom, boom. And so please do yourself a favor. gamefixshow.com is where it's at. Gentlemen, anything else before we let the good people do their thing tonight and go game? Because that's what time it is. It's game time, bitch!
The next episode of Gen V has Soldier Boy in it.
Oh, it's really? Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So watch the fucking show, dude.
Oh, cool.
I can't wait.
There had to be some kind of crossover.
I didn't expect it to be him, though, but that's sweet.
That's cool. All right. Wait, is it a prequel or a sequel?
It's parallel.
Okay. Oh, so it's happening during.
Yeah, it's happening. Like they've already discussed Homelander's like in trouble for killing that dude. Which is crazy because one of the main characters in this is like it's like Omni-Man strong, like just ripping people apart and getting clips unloaded into him, and he's just like.
Cool. It's good. Good. All right. I need to watch it. I know. I will. Just, you know,
when first episode, just like the first episode of The Boys, watch the first episode and you're going to be like, fuck.
Awesome. That first episode of The Boys is so fucking memorable, man. You know what I'm talking about. That one fucking scene. And you're just like,
what? That just happened. You didn't even know what the fuck happened.
Just fucking ran through her.
Like, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Just happened.
And then you realize, oh shit, he just ran through her. Yeah. What was she doing on the road? What was she doing standing on the road, though? That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah.
What's that?
It could have been a bus.
Yeah.
where she was standing on the curb, like
right, that's what I'm saying.
Final Destination.
Like, why was she standing there? So stupid. Anyway, all right.
Script.
Anyway, all right. All right, well, that's it. That's the show. Thank you again for joining us. There's one thing left to say, and it's your world. Pay attention.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
See ya.
I love you.
Drink Crystal Pepsi. Don't drink it.
Adios, turd nuggets.
Hey there. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Audrey.
We are a sister filmmaking duo
and co-hosts of Sleepover Cinema,
our show where we analyze the films that created the collective unconscious of the girls, gays, and theys of the late 90s and early 2000s.
Princess Diaries, The Cheetah Girls, Aquamarine, Cinderella, the one starring Brandy.
We haven't stopped thinking about these movies since we first saw them, and we want you to rewatch them
and review them with us.
Are these movies as bad as critics would have us believe?
Do we even care if they are?
We are always unpacking that very question on Sleepover Cinema.
Check out Sleepover Cinema wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcasts.com.
See you soon.